Good morning, and welcome to Simply Science. It's Monday, April 8th. On today's show, scientists prepare to track the sun during the total solar eclipse from an altitude of 50,000 feet, while China's Orchid Renaissance explores the intersection of ancient traditions and modern science. Plus, Chinese scientists raise questions about a potential flaw in NASA's hypersonic aerodynamic software. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with an exciting development in space science. As the moon casts its shadow across North America, plunging millions into momentary darkness, NASA is preparing to launch five pioneering science projects to better understand the sun during the total solar eclipse. These experiments aim to unravel the mysteries of the sun and its influence on Earth, enhancing our understanding of heliophysics and atmospheric science. Here to discuss this further is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Science. Can you tell us more about these projects?
Certainly, David. Among the ambitious projects is the utilization of NASA's WB-57 high-altitude research aircraft, led by Amir Caspi of the Southwest Research Institute. This mission aims to capture unprecedented images of the eclipse from 50,000 feet above Earth's surface, offering a unique vantage point to observe the sun's corona in extraordinary detail. The mission could also shed light on the elusive dust ring around the sun and search for asteroids in close proximity to our star.
That sounds fascinating. Are there any other projects that will be using NASA's WB-57 aircraft?
Yes, there is another team, headed by Shadia Habal from the University of Hawaii, that will also be using NASA's WB-57s. They plan to conduct airborne imaging and spectroscopic observations of the corona. By flying along the eclipse path, they hope to extend their observation time and gain insights into the temperature, chemical composition, and dynamics of solar material ejections.
And what about the ionosphere's response to the eclipse? Are there any projects focusing on that?
Indeed, there is. Nathaniel Frissell from the University of Scranton is inviting amateur radio operators to join Solar Eclipse QSO parties. This global network of ham radio enthusiasts will track how the eclipse affects radio wave propagation, offering valuable data on the ionosphere's behavior during such events.
What about the impact of the eclipse on Earth's upper atmosphere?
Bharat Kunduri of Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University is leading a project using the Super Dual Auroral Radar Network, or SuperDARN, to examine the eclipse's impact on Earth's upper atmosphere. This study aims to enhance our understanding of how solar radiation influences atmospheric conditions.
And finally, are there any projects focusing on solar active regions?
Yes, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, in collaboration with the Lewis Center for Education Research, is embarking on a mission to observe solar active regions using the Goldstone Apple Valley Radio Telescope. This technique promises to bring the sun's magnetic hotspots into sharper focus, potentially unveiling new aspects of solar activity.
Thanks for that update, Michael. Now, let's shift our focus to China, home to over 1,700 of the world's approximately 30,000 orchid species, which has seen a significant growth in its orchid industry, thanks to advancements in science and technology. A review article published online in Ornamental Plant Research titled "The China Orchid Industry, Past and Future Perspectives," delves into this topic. Here to discuss more on this is our correspondent, Abby. Can you tell us more about the cultural significance of orchids in China?
Certainly, David. Orchids hold a deep cultural significance in China, dating back to ancient times. They have been celebrated by figures like Confucius and Qu Yuan, with a particular preference for fragrant cymbidium species. As a global leader in orchid diversity, China places great emphasis on the protection of orchid diversity.
And how has modern science and technology contributed to the growth of China's orchid industry?
The advent of high-throughput sequencing has been a game changer. It has led to the discovery of many SNP markers in orchids, which are crucial to the study of the origin, evolution, and genetic diversity of orchids. The genomes of 26 orchids have been subjected to high-throughput sequencing, and the results have driven the exploration of key genes in orchids. This has led to significant progress in research on flower patterns, flowering time, color of flowers and leaves, aroma, and disease resistance.
What about the challenges and advancements in orchid resistance research, breeding technologies, and rapid propagation methods?
The review discusses these aspects in detail. It highlights the potential of molecular marker-assisted breeding, transgenic breeding, and gene editing to revolutionize orchid breeding. It also addresses the challenges posed by diseases and pests to the orchid industry. Cultivating stem-tip culture of virus-free seedlings is the main method for controlling viral diseases. Additionally, endophytic fungi, an important component of the orchid microbiota, have a positive impact on orchid reproduction, growth, development, and resistance.
What does the future hold for the orchid industry?
The prospects are vast. There are untapped ornamental and medicinal orchid species that offer new avenues for commercial development. As China continues to influence global orchid trends and markets, its role as a major center for orchid research, development, production, and consumption is undeniably pivotal for the future growth and diversification of the global orchid industry.
That was Simply Science reporter Abby. Thanks for sharing these insights. In other scientific news, Chinese scientists have recently raised concerns over a potential flaw in NASA's hypersonic aerodynamic software, Vulcan CFD. This software, which is subject to export controls due to its potential use in hypersonic weapons development, is said to have an error that could lead to inaccurate predictions of chemical composition and temperature changes on an aircraft's surface. Here to discuss this in more detail is our correspondent, Bella. Can you tell us more about this alleged flaw?
Certainly, David. The team led by Professor Liu Jun from the Hypersonic Technology Laboratory of the National University of Defense Technology in China published a paper in the Chinese academic journal Acta Aerodynamica Sinica. They claim that a small deficiency in the equations used by the Vulcan CFD software could lead to inevitably erroneous outcomes when simulating and analyzing high-temperature ablation. This is a critical issue as when an aircraft's speed exceeds Mach 5, the intense friction with the air generates high temperatures that can ionize air molecules and spark chemical reactions. These reactions can erode the aircraft's surface and alter the temperature or density of the surrounding air.
So, what are the potential implications of this flaw?
Inaccuracies in the modeling data could have profound implications for the performance and safety of the aircraft. The Vulcan CFD software, developed by NASA's Langley Research Center, is used in the development of hypersonic weapons. Any inaccuracies could potentially affect the design and performance of these weapons. The Chinese researchers discovered the flaw by studying an academic paper published by the NASA software development team in 2020.
What does this mean for the development of hypersonic weapons, particularly in the U.S.?
The U.S. Army's long-range hypersonic weapon has faced consecutive failures in 2021 and 2022, with subsequent planned launches either scrapped or postponed. The U.S. Congressional Budget Office attributes these setbacks to the challenge of managing the extreme heat that hypersonic missiles are exposed to during flight. The alleged flaw in NASA's software could potentially exacerbate these challenges.
And what about the Chinese researchers who discovered this flaw?
The research was a collaborative effort between scientists from the People's Liberation Army University of Aerospace Engineering in Beijing, the Aerodynamics Research and Development Center in Mianyang, Sichuan Province, and Professor Liu's laboratory. These institutions have significantly contributed to the rapid development of Chinese hypersonic weapon technology over the past two decades.
Has NASA responded to these allegations?
As of now, NASA has not publicly responded to these claims. It's worth noting that NASA was among the first institutions in the world to explore hypersonic technology and has conducted many pioneering studies and flight tests in this domain. However, in recent years, it has faced persistent budget cuts and a brain drain, which could potentially impact its ability to address these concerns.
Thanks for that report, Bella. From potential flaws in NASA's software to inspiring the next generation of scientists, the University of Guam Science Building was abuzz over the weekend with young minds showcasing their scientific prowess at the 46th Guam Annual Island-Wide Science Fair. The grand prize? A chance to attend a NASA-sponsored space camp. Here to discuss this further is Celeste, a correspondent for Simply Science. Can you tell us more about this event?
Absolutely, David. This event saw students of all ages from both public and private schools competing in 7 categories: ecology and earth science, physical science and math, biology and medical, chemistry, energy, invention, sustainability, computer and aerospace, robotics and engineering. The students had been preparing for this day for a long time, and their excitement was palpable.
Can you share any standout projects from the fair?
Certainly. One project that caught attention was by a third-grade student named Kurian Thomas from Harvest Christian Academy. His project was centered around flight, specifically the glide ratio of gliders. His aim was to try and increase the distance a glider could travel. He was inspired by a tiny glider that he played with at home.
That's impressive for a third grader. How did he present his project?
Kurian had to showcase his project and explain the process of conducting the experiment and his findings to judges and science fair attendees. By the end of the day, he was speaking with ease and confidence about his project. He had come up with the idea for the project at home, playing with his favorite glider, with a little help from his mom.
It sounds like his mom played a significant role in his project.
Indeed, she did. Anna Thomas, Kurian's mom, helped him study the effects of wing modification on flight distance of glider using aerodynamics, the title of his science experiment. She mentioned that the project sounds more complex than it really is. Kurian used online resources like YouTube to understand glider physics. Anna was proud of her son's interest in science and was more focused on his participation than winning.
And how did Kurian fare in the competition?
Kurian won first place in his category. However, his mom emphasized that the experience was the real win. She believes that participating in such competitions helps improve problem-solving skills and clarity of thought in children. This was Kurian's second island-wide science fair competition.
That's a wonderful perspective from our Simply Science reporter, Celeste, reminding us that it's not just about winning, but about the learning experience. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.